brow. In both hands, he balanced trays laden with covered dishes of gleaming silver. Selene tracked his progress through the room as she directed Pippa closer to a wall of wooden paneling near the entrance, out of the main walkway's path. Pippa gazed about the space with purpose.
Do you see him?
Captivated by the scene unfolding before them, Selene failed to reply. Across the restaurant's open dining area, near a set of curving stairs vanishing up into shadowy darkness, the freckled server caught the attention of an imposing figure standing beside the swinging door to the kitchen. The silk-faced lapels of his pristine frock coat glowed in the candlelight. Even from a distance, Selene recognized him as the ruler of this culinary domain. He maintained a ramrod-straight posture, his dark skin, and the gold ring through his right ear, brilliant contrasts to his snow-white shirt. Then he glanced at the server, flicking his black eyes toward a table closer to Pippa and Selene. His gaze was pointed, reproving. A flush spreading across his cheeks, the young server conducted an artful about-face, twisting back in the table's direction. He began distributing covered dishes before its four patrons, one of whom was a pale gentleman of Asiatic origin, sporting a thin mustache, perfectly groomed, and a shirt with a simple collar. Beside him sat a portly white fellow with red splotches across his nose and a smoldering cigar. Across the table was a man with skin the color of mahogany, wearing a spectacular waistcoat of gold and royal blue. Next to him sulked the younger, smaller version of himself. It struck Selene as highly unusual. She had never seen men of different skin color occupy the same space in a fine restaurant. Parisian high society was not a society of mixed company. The Paris Selene knew was carefully sorted, just like its many arrondissements. As a small child, Selene was told never to traverse the narrow lanes of Saint-Denis, just as its Imeray residents were shown that they, and their kind, did not belong anywhere near the dazzling boulevards of Plan Vendôme. She wondered if the scene taking place tonight within Jacques was normal in a port city like New Orleans, one in which people from all over the world congregated. She would wager it was not. It had certainly been the truth for her own family. From an early age, Selene had been taught to be grateful for her mother's absence from their family's dining table. Sadness flared around her heart. She took hold of it, trapped it deep within her chest. It did no good to dwell on matters she could not change. Steadfast in her resolve, Selene looked to Pippa to see if they should proceed. It appeared that Pippa too had been swept away by the unearthly magic of this place. She watched, rapt, while the freckle-faced server finished distributing the covered dishes. Then he snapped his fingers in a dramatic fashion, and all the silver domes were removed in concert. Scented steam wafted through the air, floating towards Selene and Pippa as though it were borne on an enchanted wind. Pippa stilled, her eyes falling shut.
"What is that deliciousness?" she asked Selene.
Selene leaned closer to the table, peering around the hustle and bustle of the busy restaurant. The food smelled familiar. The same scents of butter and wine, the same perfume of marjoram, thyme, and rosemary that Selene had grown up enjoying in Paris. But something else filtered through the air, spices she could not readily identify. They plagued her, tantalized her, intoxicated her. The newly uncovered plates of Limoges porcelain held fillets of sole, resting atop beds of fragrant rice, finished with a sauce similar to a beurre blanc, but with a twist of roasted tomatoes and a hint of sweet herbs. To the right of the flaky fish sat a tureen of pommes de terre soufflées. The delectably puffed potatoes were served alongside an intricate pyramid of roasted asparagus, smothered in truffle port sauce, then garnished with slender shavings of cured meat. At the table nearest to them, an elegant woman dripping with pearls drank from her glass of red wine before nibbling on a pillowy gougère, the salty scent of Gruyère cheese mingling with the rich fragrance of the Burgundy. In that moment, Celine wanted nothing more than to slip into this woman's expensive shoes just for a breath of time. To sink her teeth into something decadent, heedless of all else around her. "Oh," Pippa said, startled by a sudden tongue of fire leaping from another table. A white-gloved maître d'hôtel swished the burning contents of a small pan, a blue blaze dancing around its edges. The concoction appeared to be a strange kind of creamy fruit, covered in mounds of brown sugar, then doused with bourbon before being set aflame. A delectable perfume of warm caramel curled into the air, countless pairs of eyes drifting toward it. This was beyond unfair. Celine's soul cried out in protest, her memories of the flavorless stew she had consumed earlier taunting her tongue. What would happen to Celine if she ordered a meal right now and could not pay for it? Would she be forced to wash dishes all night? Perhaps put in a stockade and pelted with rotten vegetables, like in the time of Shakespeare? Would it be worth it? Resolve coursed through her. At some point, Celine would partake in a meal at this restaurant. She might even entice Pippa to join her. Maybe. Pippa's stomach grumbled, and a smile toyed at the edges of Celine's lips. Just then, the imposing figure positioned near the kitchen's swinging door turned his attention toward them. He cut his eyes, appraising them from afar. This man had to be the individual with the sinful voice and the ring through his right ear that Odette had mentioned at their first meeting earlier today. Before Celine could move in his direction, the man shifted from his post, striding toward the front of the restaurant, where Celine and Pippa stood. He moved with purpose, though his attention remained sharp, watching for signs of missteps among his staff, ready to rebuke at any turn. As he wove through the space, he pointed behind him, and another liveried gentleman stepped seamlessly into position beside the swinging kitchen door. Celine admired his poise, the respect he commanded. Less than 10 years ago, men with his skin color were held as slaves in the southern part of America, forced to work in endless fields beneath a blazing hot sun. Celine knew they still were not seen as equals, much less granted prestigious positions in elegant restaurants, directing white men in perfectly pressed jackets. The sight of this man of color helming an establishment like Shock's emboldened Celine in a way she could not quite understand. He stopped before them, standing directly in front of Celine. Her eyes widened as he towered over her, his gaze a tinge unwelcoming.
"May I help you, mademoiselle?"
he asked in a lightly accented tone.
"If you wish to reserve a table tonight, it is best for you to join the queue out front."
His voice reminded her of an approaching storm, a distant rumble, a swirl of clouds. Though Celine should have felt unsettled by his cold demeanor, she found herself unaffected. Calm. "Hello," she began, her tone unwavering. "My name is Celine." He cast her an arched glance and said nothing more. "I was told to disregard the queue," Celine continued, "and ask to be taken to Odette." His gaze softened.
"My apologies." A fond light entered his eyes. "You should have begun with that, mademoiselle."
He snapped his fingers in the air, and all around them bodies moved in concert, clearing a path.
"Je m'appelle Casimir."
He introduced himself while adjusting his golden cufflinks, their shining surfaces embossed with the same symbol of a fleur-de-lis in the mouth of a lion.
"I am in charge of this restaurant. As friends of Mademoiselle Valmont, you are most welcome at Jacques. And please know that All those in my employ are here to attend to your needs.
He began leading them toward the curving staircase near the back.
C'est un plaisir de vous rencontrer, Casimir,
Celine replied with a smile.
It's a pleasure to make your acquaintance, Mr. Casimir,
Pippa echoed, her voice resembling the squeak of a mouse. A grin flickered across Casimir's face.
Please call me simply Casimir, mademoiselle. My surname is of little consequence, as it is not one I care to use.
Celine wanted to ask what Casimir meant by saying that, but stopped herself after an inadvertent glance over one shoulder. The sight of Pippa bravely marching forward despite her earlier concerns sent a flurry of guilt across Celine's skin. Once again, she had placed Pippa in an uncomfortable situation, and the friend in truth would check on her companion more often. The trio ascended the curving staircase, trepidation rippling through Celine, starting from her toes, rising up her spine. She nearly stumbled as the steps grew narrower the closer they climbed toward the top. Anticipation spiked around her heart when the fear reached her throat. It was a strange sensation, this mixture of emotions. For as long as Celine could remember, she'd relished this particular thrill. The boys who lived on her street had called her une petite saute when she balanced along her balcony's ledge on a single foot. You little fool, they'd cried from far below, safe and smug in their superiority.
Veux-tu mourir, ma Celine Rousseau?
They could not have been more wrong. Celine hadn't wanted to die then, just as she had no desire to die now. In fact, it was the complete opposite. She simply wanted to revel in the excitement that always accompanied danger. That chance to feel truly alive. But those little tyrants in their worn woolen caps weren't completely wrong when they called her a fool. Even then, she had known it was the height of foolishness to court danger so openly, to crave it like a slice of warm chocolate cake. Were the Mother Superior present now, Celine knew she would urge them away from this place with all haste. Signs of peril lurked everywhere, even in the sinister coil of the wrought iron railing. The second floor came into view, and Celine glimpsed a multitude of gas lamps turned down low, rendering the room beyond in muted tones. The air around them condensed, turned cooler, as if they had passed from day to night in the span of a single staircase. They neared the top, Casimir continuing to move at a leisurely pace. Here, the banisters were fashioned of gleaming brass, faceted on all sides with a fleur-de-lis in the mouth of a roaring lion. As if the symbol had intentionally followed Celine all day long. Or perhaps led her to this place, without words. Something began coiling through her stomach. An unseen force. It spread through her limbs like a slow shudder. Beside her, Pippa gripped Celine's arm, undoubtedly experiencing the same unsettling sensation. That feeling of hovering above the threshold between light and dark. Casimir turned toward them, his sharp gaze appearing as though it could bore holes into her soul.
Bienvenue à la cour de Lyon.
Welcome to the Court of the Lions. Toussaint. The first thing Celine noticed was the sound, or rather, the absence of it. The moment her feet sank into the plush carpet at the top of the stairs, the noise from below dropped to a hush, as if it were being muffled, like a heavy blanket had been drawn over the entire second floor, warding away the possibility of eavesdroppers. But that was impossible. How could anyone manage such a thing? Celine let her vision slowly adjust to the darkness. Dim lighting glowed around a large rectangular chamber replete with gleaming wooden tables. Surrounding the tables stood shadowy figures adorned in silks and sparkling gemstones, cut crystal glasses flashing with each of their movements. A faint breeze tempered the air, fending off the rising heat from below. The floors and paneled walls were stained a dark mahogany, polished to resemble the surface of a black mirror. Silk drapes of a costly indigo hue, trimmed with golden tassels, framed every arched window. A long chaise sat empty in the chamber center, like a throne meant for an empress or a goddess of old. That same sense of a blurred reality, of a sight gone hazy along its edges, enveloped the space. Punctuating the din was the occasional clatter of ivory dice across felted bays, the flutter of glossy cards being shuffled and sorted, the occasional muted cheer. "It's a gambling hell," Pippa said, her tone a mixture of unease and anticipation. Celine tilted her head. It was, and it wasn't. She couldn't ignore the feeling that she was peering at a beautiful mask, some kind of artful illusion. That if she shook her head, just so, her vision would clear, leaving behind nothing but truth. Was this place the court the two young women had mentioned in Jackson Square that afternoon? Could its bejeweled patrons be responsible for such a sordid crime? At first glance, it did not appear so. But first impressions were known to be deceiving. Whenever Celine had heard talk of gambling hells, they'd been portrayed as dens of iniquity. Powerful men sloshed with drink, wasting away fortunes on the single roll of a dice. Powdered light skirts plying their scented wares, bared skin and spilled liquor, lush velvet and cool ivory. Wealth at the height of its debauchery. The scene before Celine could not appear more civilized. Everywhere she looked, dazzling women and elegant men of all skin colors congregated as seeming equals. As if this was not an unusual sight at all. Just then, a cry of triumph rose into the darkness to their right, just beyond a game of faro. The sound drew Celine toward an oval table of lustrous burl wood, the sights around it unspooling like bolts of fabric, captivating her with possibility. Roulette. She'd heard of this game before, but never had occasion to play it. Celine? From behind her, Pippa took hold of her hand beseechingly. Celine halted in her tracks and eyed her friend over her shoulder. "What are you doing?" Pippa asked quietly. The question emboldened Celine, granted her a sense of purpose. Perhaps it was the golden glow of the gas lamps, or the heady scent of spices mixed with smoldering cigars. Whatever it was, she did not want to hide among the wavering shadows. She wanted to soar. "I'm playing roulette," Celine replied, her voice filled with conviction. Shock fluttered across Pippa's features. "What?" Celine was tired of doing nothing but watching, tired of wearing her own mask and being a mere observer to life. "You wanted to know who I really am?" She bit her lower lip. "I'm a girl who'd rather experience life than watch it pass by from my window." Pippa exhaled slowly, then nodded as she released Celine's hand. Like a moth to a flickering flame, Celine glided toward the amber light surrounding the roulette table. She hovered along the edges, her skin tingling with awareness. A croupier swiped away a stack of tortoiseshell chips, presenting them to the recent winner. He waited for the players to place their new bets, then held a small ivory ball aloft, before spinning a wheel of numbers in one direction and dropping the ball in the other. The tick-tick-tick of the roulette wheel grew louder and faster until each sound blended into the next.
"Roussez!"
the croupier called out when the ivory ball landed in a red square labeled 16. Across the table, a trio of companions, two women with dark skin and a man with a burnished complexion, grumbled in French to each other before reaching to place another bet. The rings gilding both women's fingers were immense, jagged pieces of raw stone set in pure gold. Celine searched for a set of discarded dice, a way to join the game despite her lack of fortune. Her gaze caught on the faces of the trio, and a strange realization gripped her stomach. They were all extraordinarily attractive. Their skin seemed to glimmer beneath the warmth of the newfangled electrical lantern hanging overhead, the centers of their eyes filled with lambent light. When they moved, the air around them shifted like smoke. Celine blinked as if something had floated across her vision, her lashes fluttering to clear her sight, her lips parting ever so slightly.
Lovely.
A male voice murmured from her left, his thick drawl catching her attention.
Pardon?
Celine replied, turning his way.
You could be my good luck charm, my beauty.
The young man's elbow brushed her arm as he leaned in closer, his clean-shaven features sly. He, too, was inexplicably handsome, his face like that of an angel, his expression decidedly at odds with the cherubic curls atop his brow. Again, Celine was struck by how clear his eyes were, how the blue ringing their dark centers seemed inordinately intense, inhuman. The thought startled Celine. She banished it with a toss of her head, restoring her senses so that she wouldn't appear to be a simpleton.
I'd rather be my own good luck charm, sir.
Squaring her shoulders, she met his appreciative stare. He rolled a set of dice between his fingers, his angelic curls falling across his forehead.
I'd wager you've never played roulette.
You'd be wagering incorrectly then, Celine lied. She held out her hand for the dice.
I might be the best roulette player you've ever met.
He laughed.
I can taste your deceit, my lovely little liar,
he whispered.
What?
Celine dropped her hand, stepping back, disoriented by his words.
It's sweet on my tongue.
Again, Celine took a small step back, almost colliding with Pippa.
Boon! A feminine voice warned from the shadows. Don't be a beast, you've been warned already.
The young man put both hands in the air in a gesture of surrender and pulled away the following instant, but not before offering Celine a wink.
Fantastique!
The same feminine voice exclaimed from behind Pippa and Celine, as if nothing of import had occurred.
I didn't think you'd actually come.
The slender silhouette lurking in a fall of shadow shifted into the light. Celine's mouth dropped open.
Of course, I hoped you would,
Odette continued, her teeth flashing in a smile as she lifted her glass of red wine in salute.
But I didn't place a bet on the outcome.
If the girl had not spoken first, Celine never would have recognized her. Gone were the dainty, demure garments from earlier in the day. The only familiar embellishment was the ivory cameo with its halo of blood-red rubies. Odette was dressed as a gentleman. Her trousers were made of supple buckskin, and her shirt, with its ballooned sleeves, was stark white, covered by an elaborate waistcoat of pale green jacquard. The chain of a large gold pocket watch hung across the front of Odette's vest. But the pièce de résistance had to be her intricately tied silk cravat, pinned in its center by the ivory cameo. Her brown hair had been slicked back from her face and gathered at the nape of her neck in a simple knot. A slow smile unfurled across Odette's face at their stunned silence. She swirled her wine knowingly.
Why, you're wearing trousers!
Pippa remarked a moment later, her eyes enormous.
I find it incredibly freeing.
Odette moved forward, resting one of her gloved hands in her pocket.
Some days I adore wearing corsets and bustles and layers of silk. But Sometimes it pays to wear pants.
Though Celine was still rendered speechless by the sight, a sense of delight wound through her. The grin lingering on the edges of her lips threatened to bloom. How wonderful. Celine cleared her throat.
Of course we came, she began,
as though nothing were amiss. I said I would, and I don't enjoy going back on my word. Celine shifted beside Odette, studying the lovely girl's outfit with a practiced eye.
Forgive me, but there's a stain beside your cravat.
She nodded at Odette's shirt, where the tiniest drop of red wine, or perhaps rouge, had seeped onto the otherwise pristine cloth. Odette glanced downward, tugging at her collar with a gloved finger.
Merde, she cursed under her breath.
And I thought I had been so careful.
Both rouge and red wine are easy to remove with a bit of white wine or tonic water, Celine offered.
Otherwise you look impeccable.
Truly?
Odette wrinkled her nose, no doubt pleased to hear the compliment. Celine nodded.
A jacquard waistcoat is an excellent choice for someone with your coloring, and the tailoring looks flawless. Though I would have selected a French seam to finish the edges instead of a standard backstitch.
Are French seams better? Odette asked, as she set her wine on a nearby table.
Of course. Celine didn't blink. They're French. Odette laughed.
You're simply delightful, mon ami.
Celine almost smiled alongside Odette, but something stopped her, bade her to keep her distance, at least for the time being. In the past, being too trusting of others had not done her any favors.
I've never seen a knot like that.
She nodded toward Odette's cravat.
It's a mail coach knot from the earlier part of the century.
Odette's eyes gleamed pale gold.
I do think that the men of the Regency era had the best sense of fashion, don't you?
Celine thought a moment.
A part of me is inclined to agree.
She paused.
Though I'll admit I've never fancied the top hat.
Men have no need of the added height. They lord over everything enough as it is.
Odette hummed in agreement.
What kind of hat would you pair with this ensemble? She asked. An Eton cap? A bowler?
Frankly, I'd prefer no hat at all. But I know it's simply not done.
If you were out during the day, I would recommend a straw hat with a thick band. The weather here becomes it.
So then a Panama hat?
Odette tapped an index finger against her chin. Celine frowned.
No. Something else.
Something that did not remind her of Sébastien Saint-Germain. Celine swallowed, wondering why her thoughts had hearkened to that particular style in that particular instant. It had never struck her as memorable before. When Celine glanced at Pippa, she noticed her friend studying her, Pippa's blonde head angled to one side, as though she had heard the lie buried deep in Celine's musings. Discomfited by the notion, Celine decided to shift tack.
Is there a place we could begin taking your measurements? She asked Odette.
Odette rested her arms akimbo and cocked her head to one side.
I'm fine taking measurements here, as long as you don't mind.
It was almost as if she had issued a challenge. Such a thing simply wasn't done. But then again, Odette appeared to enjoy bucking convention. Why should this occasion prove any different? Her features the portrait of apathy, Celine reached inside the pocket of her petticoat and extracted a length of measuring ribbon. She refused to be outmatched or intimidated, even if Odette did wear trousers. While Celine worked to measure Odette's torso, she peered through a parting in the crowd, catching a glimpse of an ongoing chess match. Neither of the players moved for the span of several breaths, their eyes riveted on the black and white board. Then, the white king fell without ever being touched. The next instant, the entire chess set rearranged itself on its own.
the pieces whisking across the checkered surface in a whirl. As the victor reached over to shake his opponent's hand, a smile curving up his face.
What?
Pippa stammered.
What happened?
Celine stared, her expression one of disbelief.
More importantly, how? You needn't look so surprised, Odette said with a grin. They are simply illusions performed by those with the skill.
Pippa glanced at Odette, a brow arched in question.
You mean magic?
Of a sort. Odette nodded.
This is a place in which students of the occult?
She searched for the word, her hands turning through the air.
Gather.
Like a gambling hell for magicians? Doubt crossed Celine's face as she resumed measuring Odette's arms and shoulders.
I wouldn't call us magicians, Odette replied. We prefer to be called illusionists or mentalists.
Pippa nodded. I saw a performance by a mentalist once, just outside of London. He turned water into ink and transformed a bouquet of lilies into a bevy of doves. She paused.
Do your members also give performances like that?
Some of us do.
Odette raised a shoulder, eliciting a wordless rebuke from Celine.
But most of us simply choose to meet here in safety to own our craft.
She paused.
It's a blessing we've been provided with such a space. There was a time before when things were not quite so.
A shadow darkened Odette's countenance as her voice faded into nothingness. Then she grinned brightly. Celine took in a careful breath while she worked, her doubts growing. Something about the girl's explanation troubled her. It felt familiar. The kind of explanation Celine had been wont to give as of late. A skeleton of the truth.
What kind of mentalist are you?
She asked, her tone nonchalant.
One who divines the future, Odette said matter-of-factly. The ancients called it stargazing, but the mystics in the quarter referred to us as soothsayers.
Pippa's rosebud lips fell open.
Then you already know everything that will happen? Everything I will do or say?
She glanced about with obvious discomfort.
Even what I might be thinking or feeling?
Odette shook her head.
I know what may happen depending on the choices you make. Just by...
Pippa swallowed.
Looking at me?
No. Physical contact is necessary for me to divine things with any measure of clarity.
During this exchange, Celine had kept silent for fear she would speak out of turn. She paused to take note of the final measurements, but disbelief flared hot in her veins when she recalled how Boone had claimed to taste the flavor of her lies. Such things are not possible, her mind screamed, demanding attention. Her heart, however, knew better. Celine could not deny she had been in the presence of something otherworldly tonight, here at Jock. Moreover, she recalled her first encounter with Odette this afternoon. How Odette's gaze had widened infinitesimally when Celine had taken her hand. The soothsayer had seen something, even in that briefest of interactions. Captivated by the prospect of such knowledge, of such power, Celine discarded the measuring ribbon, her pencil dropping from her lips. She knew it was a risk, but she simply had to know if Odette had uncovered any of her secrets.
What did you see?
Pippa turned toward her, confused by the question. Odette met Celine's gaze, her expression knowing.
What do you mean?
Her voice sounded deceptively innocent.
This afternoon, Celine continued without batting an eye. When you took my hand, what did you see?
Odette's smile turned fierce.
I only caught flashes of possibility. The lace obstructed my view.
She held up a gloved hand.
Annoying but necessary. It's easy to lose sight of what's real when you're lost in the stars.
Celine stood taller. Ben held out her hand, her gaze steady, determined to learn whether or not Odette possessed any damaging information.
Please tell me what you see.
I'd like to know. As she had earlier today, Odette canted her head in contemplation.
Are you quite certain, mon ami?
Knowing what might happen is not the same as preventing it from happening. Celine nodded.
I'm certain.
Odette removed the kidskin glove on her right hand. Without hesitation, she wrapped her cool fingers around Celine's palm and closed her eyes. Her smile softened.
L'odontue de bête,
she murmured after a moment. Her eyes flashed open, laughter tinging her tone.
Je le savais,
she congratulated herself.
The tamer of beasts,
Celine translated, her expression one of puzzlement.
I don't understand.
Odette did not answer. Her lips began to purse as if she had consumed something sour. She swallowed carefully, her eyes squeezing shut once more. Whatever she saw now caused her unmistakable consternation. Pippa gnawed at her lower lip. Unease trickled down Celine's spine like a bead of slowly dripping sweat. She gripped Odette's hand tightly, noticing how much warmer her skin felt with each passing second.
What?
She whispered.
What is it?
All at once, Odette pulled away, yanking her palm from Celine's grasp. Her brown eyes flickered open, their darkened centers large, shimmering, out of focus.
I couldn't.
She trailed off, momentarily disoriented. Then she straightened like a soldier and shot Celine a dazzling smile.
I'm sorry, mon ami, but portions of your future were too murky for me to divine.
Celine did not believe her.
What does that mean?
Odette shrugged.
It means the course of your life has yet to be plotted.
Her laughter resembled bubbles of champagne, light, frivolous, full of air.
But don't fret. We can try again soon, I promise.
Celine swallowed her retort. Odette's brand of magic was not as impressive or as helpful as she had hoped it would be. It was also possible the girl was deliberately concealing what she had seen. Neither option sat well with Celine, but it would be impolite to pursue the matter further in public. As though nothing had transpired, Odette shifted her attention to Pippa, her ungloved hand held out before her.
Would you care to try?
Pippa took a step back.
Please don't be offended, but I'd rather my future remain a surprise.
Another round of airy laughter burst from Odette's lips.
Smart girl!
But, Pippa said, her features knitting with confusion,
I am curious about how it works. Is it a skill with which you are born or one you must cultivate?
Odette tilted her head from side to side, wordlessly balancing her thoughts like weights on a scale. Before she responded, she donned her glove once more.
Many of the women in my family were gifted with the second sight. This place has given me a chance to cultivate this gift without judgment or expectation.
For those like me, it's the only safe haven we've ever had.
Her grin turned sad, before she brightened the very next instant.
Truly, this is a place unlike any other.
Casimir called it La Côte de Lion, Celine said.
The Heart of a Lion,
Pippa attempted to translate. The Court of the Lions, Celine corrected in a kind voice. Pippa's gaze widened in understanding, undoubtedly arriving at the same conclusion Celine herself had come to not long ago. That, yet again, Celine was responsible for dragging her friend deeper through a field of razor-sharp diamonds. Perhaps it was simply her fate to be a portent of doom. Odette rolled her eyes.
That's not Casimir's doing, that's Bastion's.
Honestly, that boy could sell a snowball to a penguin.
She snickered.
You would never suspect how dramatic he truly is.
Her features turned rueful.
Oh, but if he heard me say that, he would stare at me with those dagger eyes of his until I apologized. Really, men are such infants.
Distracted by her worries, it took a moment for Celine to register Odette's words. Her blood turned cold.
Bastien, are you referring to Sébastien Saint-Germain?
Odette's eyes went wide.
Yes, that's him. En vrai démon, n'est-ce pas?
She sniffed.
At least he's a welcome sight for the eyes. Have you ever seen a more handsome devil?
No, Celine admitted. Unfortunately, neither has he.
Parfait, simplement parfait!
Odette clapped her hands, her laughter lilting into the coffered ceiling. Then she resumed chattering without pausing for breath. Somewhere high above the clouds, or deep below in a fiery pit, an otherworldly creature must be having a grand time at Celine's expense. Her shoulders fell forward, her lips thinning into a line as the words continued flowing from Odette's lips like wine at a bacchanalia.
Bastien's uncle owns this entire building, as well as several properties in the Vieux Carré, Odette said. Of course you've heard of Le Comte de Saint-Germain. Rich as Croesus and charming as Sin, Bastien is his sole heir, a fact that hasn't gone unnoticed by the debutants of our fair city, despite the, concern many in society have with regard to his parentage.
Her laughter became mischievous, a sly flutter of sound.
I'd wager money solves most problems, no?
She winked.
Though I myself speak only 3 languages, the Count has mastered 9 and can quote entire swaths of scripture on a whim. He's also an immense fan of the—
She stopped short when she noticed the glazed look on Celine's face.
But I'm getting ahead of myself.
Odette leaned conspiratorially toward Pippa, who stood to one side, her fingers threading and unthreading through each other.
Don't believe all the nasty rumors. Bastien's uncle is a gem. After Bastien's parents died, he took him in as a boy and cared for him like his own.
Celine cleared her throat, bewildered by the onslaught of information.
This is the first I've heard of the Count, and I was only introduced to his nephew this evening.
Odette tilted her head.
The Count is not in the city at present, but I suspect Bastien should arrive at any moment.
She began scanning the plush carpet, her gaze weaving around the chair legs.
In any case, you should be on the lookout for Toussaint.
What? Celine refrained from shifting backward.
We should be looking for something on the floor.
After witnessing chess pieces offer their own surrender, Celine did not want to be caught unawares by naughty parlor tables or stools with errant senses of humor.
Don't be alarmed, it's really nothing at all.
Odette gestured once more with her hands, a reaction Celine had come to associate with agitation.
Toussaint is Bastien's Bernese python.
She rushed through her next words.
Really, he's completely harmless. The poor angel adores his rest and wouldn't hurt a mouse.
She grimaced and bit her lip.
Zut alors. I meant figuratively, of course.
Odette brightened.
Just wait, before you know it, you'll all be the best of friends.
It took a moment for her explanation to register, disjointed as it was. Bastien's Burmese python. Bastien's giant snake. Though the serpent in question had yet to make an appearance, Pippa stifled a small shriek and jumped backward, scrambling for a chair or something upon which to stand. Celine remained rooted to one spot, a familiar rush coursing through her veins. Odette cast them a rueful glance.
Occasionally, Toussaint does like to wrap himself around anything warm, but please know you have nothing to fear.
I only mentioned him because
If you don't know to look for him, he can be a bit, disconcerting.
A snake? Pippa squeaked, looking for all the world as if she wanted to melt into the paneled wall at her back.
What kind of person has a pet snake?
Lucifer, Celine said in a flat voice. Lucifer would have a pet snake. A trill of laughter burst from Odette's lips as she reached for her glass of wine.
You simply must tell me what happened when you were introduced this evening. How delicious.
Celine sucked in her cheeks to marshal her retort. Pippa's blue eyes darted across the floor while she gnawed on her lower lip, her fingers toying with the golden cross around her neck.
We encountered Mr. Saint-Germain on our way here. He wasn't,
she hesitated,
as gracious as he should have been.
I'm unsurprised to hear that, Odette said. Bastien is like a character from a childhood nursery rhyme. When he's good, he's very, very good.
When he's bad?
Well, I'm sure you can finish the rest.
Celine certainly could, but she refused to waste more time contemplating that wretched boy and his ridiculous pet snake. It would take effort, but Celine intended to put a swift end to whatever worrisome interest this beautiful boy had managed to waken her. In truth, she didn't understand it at all. They had barely spent less than a moment in each other's presence, and a handsome face was not enough to distract her from his many misdeeds. Before the night was through, Celine intended to have a firm rein on her emotions. Nothing good ever came from letting them run amok. Her gaze settled on a painting in a gilt frame across the room. She let her sight distort until its edges glowed molten gold. Celine hated how much her notice of a boy like Bastien brought to light how broken she was. In one short evening, he'd become a proverbial thorn in Celine's side, a reminder that something inside her was not right. Perhaps that was it. Perhaps it wasn't a fascination with him at all. Perhaps it was the allure of the creature that lurked within her. Not too long ago, that creature had granted her immense power over a tormentor and freedom over her life. But it had also made her a murderess. Celine's expression hardened. She would put an end to all of it, immediately. It would have worked. Later, Celine would swear she had been on the cusp of victory, intent on shoving anything related to Sébastien Saint-Germain deep into a dark abyss, to make him disappear forever. All would have gone to plan, if not for the high-pitched scream that suddenly tore through the room.
The Ghost.
Pippa's blood-curdling shriek echoed through the chamber, rebounding off the paneled walls, setting the golden tassels atremble. It rent the space in two, like a crack had split across the plush carpeting, hell yawning in fiery fathoms below. Truly, it was an impressive achievement, that scream. The moment it left Pippa's lips, every member of La Cour des Lions leapt into action, their bodies tensed and alert. Odette scrambled to Pippa's side, the glass of red wine in her hand tipping, its contents splashing on Pippa's skirts. Before Celine could blink, a stylish man from the Far East moved swiftly toward them, brandishing a mother-of-pearl dagger. He halted at her shoulder, twirling his blade from one hand to the other. Boone sauntered into view while flipping an ice pick in the air. The two women with the dangerous rings posed like panthers about to spring, their fingers forming claws, as though their opulent jewels were really weapons instead of adornments. The victor of the recent chess match simply laid a pistol on the table before him, his bearded features cool and collected. Celine gripped her friend's elbow, yanking her back, angling her body in front of Pippa's like a shield. What happened? She demanded of her friend in a hushed voice. Are you all right? Guilt pulled at the corners of Pippa's mouth.
I thought something brushed across my foot, she said in a breathless tone, her expression one of bewilderment.
I must have been mistaken.
She spoke louder, pitching her voice through the room.
I deeply regret having frightened everyone. There is nothing amiss. Please accept my humblest apology.
Those poised to attack did not stand down. Many of them continued staring at Pippa, their features wary, their eyes continuing to flicker in a disconcerting way. Again, Celine was momentarily struck by her earlier thought. Inhuman. But that was impossible, wasn't it? It was one thing to believe in magic and illusion. Another entirely to believe in creatures of childish fancy. Pippa took in a great gulp of air, her face flushed.
I'm truly sorry,
she said again, even louder, while trying in vain to prevent the spilled wine from soaking through her skirts.
Don't apologize anymore, Celine muttered.
A pox on that damned snake and its fool of a master.
Then, as if Pippa's scream had sent a message through the paneled walls, one of the two doors in the back of the chamber opened, a rush of cool air racing over the exposed skin at Celine's chest and throat. At first, nothing emerged from the entrance, but then those nearby shifted slightly, as though to allow someone, or something, passage.
Ah, there he is.
Odette beamed. Pippa reached for Celine as a massive snake, its scales covered in dark brown spots bordered by rings of black, slithered across the carpeted floor. Fear and exhilaration wound through Celine's body. She began easing to one side as the snake drew closer, but Pippa held her in place, her fingers tightly coiled around Celine's wrist.
They smell fear, Pippa murmured.
How do you know that?
I read it somewhere.
That's rubbish.
Odette doffed her wine-stained gloves.
Technically, they can't smell anything, only taste things with their tongues.
Celine sent a murderous glare in Odette's direction as the snake passed them, vanishing under a pool of indigo silk beneath an arched window. Even after the serpent disappeared, Pippa did not stop wringing the blood from the tips of Celine's fingers.
Oh, fiddle-dee-dee, Toussaint won't hurt anyone,
Odette reassured them, stuffing her bare hands in her pockets as she spoke.
One time he wrapped himself around Arjun, but it was only frightening for a minute.
She paused in remembrance.
And that crumpet-eating criminal deserved it.
What did he do?
Pippa asked. Apparently massacred one too many crumpets, the boy in question teased from behind Pippa, his British accent slurring ever so slightly, clearly tainted by drink. Celine turned toward Arjun in shock, noting his reddened knuckles and disheveled appearance. Not so gentle reminders that, regardless of how pleasantly he comported himself, this boy from the East Indies was not what he seemed. After all, he'd managed to cross the room without being noticed, like a shadow slipping through a cloud of smoke. Pippa spun around with an unusual lack of grace, only to lose her footing. She would have fallen to the floor if Arjun hadn't been there to steady her, his arms encircling her shoulders.
I've got you, Pitt, he said with a mischievous half-smile.
A flash of horror rippled across Pippa's face. The next instant she shoved him away with a startling amount of force. Arjun landed on his backside, his waistcoat askew and his monocle tangling about his neck. Celine tried to control her reaction, but it could not be helped. She pressed her knuckles to her lips. Soon, Odette was steadying herself against Celine, cackling alongside her. Unsurprisingly, Pippa did not join in their amusement. She clasped both palms over her mouth. Flustered, she bent to help Arjun to his feet, reaching for his hands, only to be roundly rebuffed.
I'm so sorry, she said, color rising up her neck. I wasn't expecting you to be so...
helpful, he offered.
Warm,
she finished, her cheeks reddening. Arjun glanced up at her quizzically, then grinned, though he still refused to take her proffered hand. Instead, he looked to his left, whistling through his teeth to catch the attention of the nearby chess champion. The next instant, the gangly fellow stepped forward to yank Arjun to his feet with an uncanny amount of strength, his ruddy mustache curling along its waxed edges.
"Had enough, me good man,"
he said in a gruff Cockney accent. When he straightened, he towered over everyone in his vicinity, his limbs long and thin, causing him to resemble a beanpole.
"Is every bleed Maharaja as piss poor at holding his liquor as you is?"
Arjun rolled his eyes. "Such poppycock. Not every man from India is a Maharaja, Nigel." He paused for effect, securing his golden cufflinks. "And not every Englishman is a gentleman."
"Blighter."
"Loathsome imperialist."
"Clumsy twat."
"Overgrown twig." Nigel's waxed mustache twitched. Then he threw back his head and guffawed. The sound was so filled with delight that Celine began to smile.
"¿Qué está pasando, Odette?"
A rich voice cut through the melee, the sound resonating from behind where they stood.
"Hostia!"
Odette startled. Her small fist darted out, thudding against a solid form.
"Stop trying to scare me, you horse's ass! Te dije lo que sucedería la próxima vez!"
She launched into a tirade Celine could not follow, the Spanish words flying from her lips with ease. Arjun and Nigel exchanged a glance, then promptly made their way toward the roulette table in the back of the room. Odette continued ranting to the newcomer at Celine's back. But Celine refused to turn around. She had no need to confirm the obvious. Her pulse ratcheted in her throat when the heat of him drew closer. The feeling of being both drawn in and pushed back, a magnet made of opposing poles, gripped her stomach. Just like the night she had first arrived in New Orleans, when he had cleared the streets without uttering a word, Bastien's presence was a tangible thing. It made something in the air shift, like a sigh of wind. The creature inside Celine writhed beneath her skin, stirring to life. No, Celine Rousseau was not a weather vane. She would not be moved by the ghost's presence as everyone else was. He was not special, just like all the privileged boys she had encountered in her past. Another spoiled and entitled approximation of a man. She took a deep breath, determined to remain unaffected. Celine felt Bastion's eyes settle on the back of her neck. The fine hairs there stood on end, sending a warm buzz down her spine. He was close enough that she could smell the bergamot in his cologne, the hints of citrus and spice. This boy was dangerous, far too dangerous, like fuel to her fire. She stood straight, bade the stirring creature silent. Odette continued chastising Bastien in a mixture of Spanish and French. Unruffled by her tirade, Bastien shifted past Celine and Pippa, his strides unhurried, his movements liquid. Since their encounter an hour ago, he had discarded his frock coat and rolled up the sleeves of his crisp white shirt, revealing a tailored waistcoat of charcoal silk and a set of curious black markings on his inner left forearm. Disdaining the fashion of the day, he wore his dark hair shorn close to his head, resembling a bust Celine had once seen of Julius Caesar. Strapped around his shoulders was a burnished leather holster, a revolver glinting beneath his right arm. When he met Celine's gaze, he pressed his lips together, a hint of irritation pushing them forward, squaring his jaw. Annoyance riddled his handsome face. Not a trace of surprise, nor a drop of pleasure at finding her here. It emboldened Celine, urged her to dismiss him as summarily as he had dismissed her.
"Are you finished?"
he said quietly to Odette,
though his eyes were trained on Celine.
For now,
Odette sniffed.
Just don't do it again. You know how much I despise being taken off guard. No doubt that's the reason you enjoy doing it, you malquisto.
Though her tone had lightened to one of jest, Bastian did not smile.
Responde mi pregunta. ¿Por qué está ella aquí?
No.
Odette crossed her arms.
I'm not answering your questions, simply. These ladies are my guests, and I do not owe you an explanation for why they are here.
The edges of Bastion's eyes tightened, his expression darkening. Under normal circumstances, Celine suspected, this icy glower engendered fear in others, moved them to obey without question. She met him eye for eye, glare for glare, her heart thudding behind her ribs. Celine waited for him to ask them to leave. After all, this building belonged to his family, and no matter what anyone might say otherwise, it was clear Bastian ruled La Côte de Lyon, from its coffered ceiling to the snake slithering across its plush carpets. Lucifer, in his den of lions. Instead, Bastian remained silent. The bronze skin around his eyes and forehead softened, the set of his shoulders unwinding. Before Celine could take a breath, charm oozed from him with the kind of natural grace reserved for nobility. It was an unnerving sight to behold. Bastian bowed to Pippa.
Welcome to Jacques, mademoiselle. I am Sebastian Saint-Germain. C'est un plaisir de faire votre connaissance.
The consummate chameleon, he reached for her hand, bending to place a kiss on it. Though Pippa's cheeks pinked at his touch, she cleared her throat, extricated her fingers.
We've met already, sir.
Celine smothered a grin.
Quel charlatan!
Odette snorted as she sipped her wine.
They know who you are.
Bastian did not appear the least bit perturbed by her mockery.
But I don't believe we've been formally introduced.
Then permettez-moi.
A devious light glimmered in Odette's eyes.
This stunning young lady to your right, with the raven hair and the eyes like Egyptian emeralds, is Celine.
She stopped short, laughed.
I just realized I don't know your proper name, mon ami.
Celine put out her hand, channeling indifference.
My name is Celine Rousseau.
Bastian took it. She sensed a hint of hesitation the moment his long fingers wrapped around hers, the slightest twinge, like he had made an error in judgment and realized it far too late. A current of fire spread into her arm, moving slowly, as though the creature in her blood wished to savor the experience. Before Bastian could bend to kiss her hand, Celine tugged her palm from his grasp. Something unreadable passed across his features, there and gone before Celine could take in a breath. Then, his smile turned savage in its amusement. An unspoken challenge. It emboldened Celine further. If he was going to play a game, she would simply play it better. She looked at Pippa and tilted her head, allowing a knowing twinkle to shine in her eye. Just the sort of look she'd seen countless young women of Parisian society share among themselves, as if they alone were privy to a delicious secret.
This is my dear friend, Miss Philippa Monrose.
Bastian bowed again to Pippa.
Enchanté, Mademoiselle Monrose.
Pippa nodded, her unease obvious. Though Odette tried to appear indifferent to the unfolding scene, her attention flitted between Celine and Bastian as if she were witnessing a thread start to unravel. When she caught Celine staring at her, she diverted her gaze, focusing on Pippa's wine-stained skirt.
Merde, Odette swore. I'm an absolute wretch. I completely forgot about your gown. Come with me.
She began walking with purpose toward the staircase. Pippa shook her head.
Don't trouble yourself. It's not nonsense.
Odette pivoted in place.
I'm certain Casimir will have some... What was it?
Her fingertips snapped together, the sound crackling through the air.
Tonic water to remove the stain, as Celine suggested. That's not necessary. I insist.
Odette took Pippa by the hand.
If you don't allow me to fix it, then at the very least you must permit me to replace your gown. The fabric is such a lovely, voile, isn't it?
Her features brightened, an idea already taking shape in her mind.
We could go together tomorrow to see my modiste. She doesn't have Celine's eye or training, but she's quite adept at... Please, don't trouble yourself, Mademoiselle Valmont. This gown isn't worth it. It's very old. It was passed down to me from a cousin.
Pippa winced at this admission, and something knifed behind Celine's heart. Clearly, it pained Pippa to disclose this detail. And Celine did not have